Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I saw that as dietitians, we could be the people who are not only giving you a list of like, here are the foods that you should eat, you know, and here's maybe a plan, or, you know, here's a stepwise instruction. We could actually also take you through how to prepare some of these foods. Because the connection that I saw when people tasted the food and how easy it was to make some of these healthful, you know, what I like to call a colorful culinary adventure, just their expressions in their faces. Like, I could do this. I could actually do this. And that was the missing piece between just handing, you know, a sheet that said, here's what you should eat or what I recommend, et cetera, and then to actually taking them through the process of preparing it and tasting it with them.
You are here for a reason, but navigating this human life can be challenging. How do you care for your body, mind, and spirit to make the most of your time here on Earth? How can you harness your incredible human potential? In this podcast, we explore these questions and more to help you craft your best life yet. Welcome to I Am Human. Hello, humans. Welcome to another episode of I Am Human. I am your host, Dr. Yami, and I am so thrilled to be here with you today to bring you another inspiring podcast episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe to or follow this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and share it with someone you think would benefit from this content. To be human means to be impatient and give up before accomplishing a goal simply because it takes too long or feels too difficult. But to be human also means to have grit, to have determination and perseverance, and practice the discipline of patience so that a beautiful dream can be realized. My guest today is a perfect example of patience and perseverance and what happens when a group of amazing people hold tight to a common mission. Lily Correa worked as a registered dietitian and bilingual health educator at the Preventive Medicine Department at Kaiser Permanente in Riverside, California. During her time at Kaiser, Lily was the co-lead dietitian for the demonstration kitchen at the outpatient clinic, where she developed a culinary curriculum and led plant-based focused cooking classes for patients and staff. Lily worked at Kaiser for 3 years before moving to New York City to pursue health supportive culinary art studies at the Natural Gourmet Institute. After graduating from NGI, Lily joined the team that helped develop and launch the NYC Health and Hospital Bellevue's Plant-Based Lifestyle Medicine Program, an innovative, multidisciplinary healthcare team-based program to help patients reduce their cardiometabolic risk. The Bellevue program is among the first of its kind in a public hospital system in the United States. In 2022, Lily joined the central office team at NYC Health and Hospitals as the Director of Education and Training for the newly founded Office of Nutrition and Lifestyle Medicine. She is a diplomat of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. And in this episode, we're going to talk about Lily's journey, how she transitioned to a plant-based diet, her career path, how she started in California and now is in New York City, and the amazing work that she and her team are doing to bring lifestyle medicine to so many patients in New York, and also ways that we and other parts of the country can start empowering and inspiring other people, and maybe even develop our own little teams so that we can replicate the same thing. I think this was a super inspiring podcast episode. And what I love the most is how she talked about the realities of working in a very large healthcare system, one that's been around for so long, and how it does take time and patience and perseverance and really holding tight to that mission, keeping it in your heart in order to create something so amazing that benefits so many people. But it's so worth it. And I think this is a really great lesson for me as somebody who is more of the impatient kind that has given up on projects because it was simply taking too long. So I know that you're going to get a lot from this conversation. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you so much. And I hope that you love this episode. So now let's welcome Lily Correa.
The information on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to replace careful evaluation and treatment. If you have concerns about your health or well-being, please consult a healthcare professional.
Lily Correa, welcome to I Am Human. What a pleasure to have you on the show today as an expert, as a guest, but also as a friend. You're doing some fabulous work. So I'm so excited for my audience to just learn about your whole journey and just the mind-blowing work that y'all are doing in New York City. But before we get there, let's start with your story. Share with us your vegan plant-based journey.
Thank you so much, Dr. Yama. It's so nice to be here today. I'm so excited to just have a conversation with you. I have been in the plant-based journey for, I counted the other day as I was thinking about sharing this, 14 years. And I went to Loma Linda University to study nutrition. So that's really where I solidified my plant-based journey. But really, it all started, my grandpa was actually a pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I'm sure that a lot of your audience has heard about the Adventist health studies. And so I grew up watching him eat a plant-based diet. Now, the rest of us did not eat a plant-based diet. Grew up in Lima, in Peru. So traditional Peruvian fare, lomo saltado, pollo a la brasa, all that stuff, ceviche. But my grandpa, you know, was always there with his just quiet influence and a lot of health, you know, around the conversations were always had, you know, in the family. So I do, you know, even though we grew up eating meat, one of the things that I always love to think about is that it always was just a small portion on the plate. My grandma cooked a lot of legumes for us. So it was legumes, rice, vegetables, always. And then the meat was like that condiment on the plate, usually. So I mean, I love legumes. I had my early starts with legumes there. But what really started to pique my interest even more into plant-based was that watching my grandpa, when we moved to the United States, what happened is that as, you know, for a lot of immigrant families, when they come over, they're experiencing new foods. And of course, a lot of different foods come into the diet, lifestyle habits change, right? We moved to a place where we needed a car to get around everywhere. So a lot less walking or physical activity, different stressors that come in. So lots of lifestyle related, right, differences that happen. So my grandpa ended up developing type 2 diabetes. And what happened is that what we're watching him take on the diagnosis was one of the things that really got me so interested in that there's something to this lifestyle medicine, which I, you know, obviously I didn't know the term yet, but certainly in the Adventist religion, there's a health message that is similar, you know, to this, to what we do in lifestyle medicine. And so I saw my grandpa get back into a less processed plant-based eating pattern. He's exercising, walking at least a mile a day, every day after meals. He is really, I see, you know, he's managing his stress with prayer, meditation. One of the things that I saw also is that he didn't have as big of a social life here in the United States as with the communities. And that's one of the pillars of lifestyle medicine is forming and maintaining those healthy relationships, right? So him getting back into, you know, conversations. Also, the language was limiting, but getting out there and really getting in on his English and trying to have conversations and all that. So I saw all of that. And he didn't end up having a progression of his condition in the way of needing insulin or always being controlled medications. I saw him really take on that remission piece that we know about today through all of these lifestyle habits. And so I said, there's something to that. And then when I got more interested in nutrition, that's why I chose Loma Linda University, so that I could study plant-based nutrition. And I saw him live to his 90s.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, there's lots of thoughts I have. First of all, I've been to Peru. Ooh. And when I went to Peru, it was in college. It was before I was vegan plant-based. Okay. But actually, the thing I remember the most about Peru was the potatoes.
Yes.
So good. The potatoes were so good. I feel like I've always leaned towards plant-based, even before I was officially plant-based, because I've always gravitated more towards, you know, like the plant foods. And I just remember the food being so delicious and the salsas, you know?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. So good. So delicious food there. How old were you whenever you started making this connection between lifestyle habits and behaviors and health? What age were you at that time?
So I was in school, in college, when I started, like around the age of 15, 16, watching my grandpa, you know, going through all of this. And one of the other things that I connected to is that I played volleyball and basketball in college, and I was at a Seventh-day Adventist institution. So there were plant-based athletes that I played alongside, like people who had grown up eating a vegetarian or a plant-based diet their whole lives. And this was when it was believed that a plant-based diet was inferior for athletic performance. So that was another piece where I was like, wait a minute. You know, I'd see these guys in the basketball team, like making the Final Fours. They don't miss a step, right? I don't see any differences. So that got me really interested also in like, what are people out there talking about? Because I don't see it here. So there's something to that too.
Yeah, I love that. It triggered that cognitive dissonance of like, wait a second, this is contradicting everything I've been told and what I believe. Something's amiss here. What am I going to believe moving forward? How am I going to learn more about this? Well, that's super cool. What an interesting journey that you've been on. So, you know, you kind of already talked about your interest in lifestyle medicine, but talk a little bit about how that's progressed. So you went to Loma Linda, you got your dietitian degree there, and then what happened after that?
So at Loma Linda, I did a coordinated program for a master's in public health and dietetics, which was really cool because then I also got to do a lot of community-based nutrition initiatives with the public health piece. And what happened after that is that in my internship, my clinical internship, I actually interned at Kaiser Permanente, and it was an outpatient clinic. And it happened to be the clinic where Dr. Columbus Batiste worked. And you might know him, the heart health doc, right? So we were conducting plant-based cooking demos there. So there's a connection there around continuing, you know, just this interest in food, but now actually making recipes and cooking them. So my colleague Heidi and I, who worked in the kitchen, ended up going to a conference in Harvard, the Harvard Lifestyle Medicine. That's the first time I actually heard the lifestyle medicine, you know, concept. And it's also the first time where I heard about culinary medicine. So that piqued my interest even more into like, what were all of these things that I hadn't heard of before, and just continuing to put everything together into how people were making small or seemingly small steps into these areas of life. And they were having such a huge impact on health, or they had the potential to have such a huge impact on health.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love how once you've been in this world, it's just like common sense, and it seems like everybody should know about these things, but there's still the majority of the population, even the majority of physicians, who have never heard of lifestyle medicine or culinary medicine. So even though for us, this seems like every day, this is like the air we breathe, there's so many people that still need to hear about these concepts. So at this point, you had already transitioned to a plant-based diet, I'm assuming. So were there any changes in your well-being, in your health, and in your lifestyle whenever you made the transition?
Yeah, you know, what was really interesting about that is I went plant-based. I would say there's a marked time that I remember that before I studied nutrition, actually, I was studying English literature because that was my major in college. So I went on to do a master's degree in English first. And then I was teaching at Andrews University in Michigan, and that was a Seventh-day Adventist university. And there is where I decided to give vegetarian, that was my gateway into fully plant-based, a try. And unbeknownst to me, my whole group of friends, that same night we went to Chili's, I remember, and they all decided, everybody decided to order black bean burgers. Like, none of us had talked about it, but we were all like, let's try this thing. And so there was 9 black bean burgers on the table. And that was the first time where I was like, this is my first vegetarian dish that I'm going to order out at a restaurant. And then from there, I continued to explore. And once I went to Loma Linda, because after Andrews, that's when I went to Loma Linda to study and went back to school. So I found my passion really was in teaching, but not English necessarily. I liked English, but I loved nutrition. And I discovered that at Andrews University, taking just a faculty course. But when I started eating completely plant-based, when I started studying nutrition, I definitely started to actually see a change in my performance. So I had originally, back in college, started thinking about athletic performance. And I got into dietetics because I wanted to be a sports performance dietitian. And I ended up in public health, which is just how the journey, you know, your life journeys work. But I saw my recovery was much easier. So I saw that I could go for longer when I was playing volleyball, for example, right? So I had more energy. I was sleeping better. My skin started to clear up. So there was definitely marked changes that I saw when I started going plant-based. And my digestion definitely felt a lot better.
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, it's just the stuff you hear over and over again, yeah. But a lot of people, they have to experience it for themselves and see what happens to their bodies whenever they make the transition. Well, I know that one of the things you're really passionate about is having registered dietitians and other lifestyle medicine practitioners also being involved in culinary initiatives. So tell me more about what that means to you and why you feel it's so important.
Yes. So that love for the kitchen definitely started at Kaiser Permanente when I was during my internship, helping lead those culinary demonstrations for our patients in English and in Spanish. And I saw that as dietitians, we could be the people who are not only giving you a list of like, here are the foods that you should eat, you know, and here's maybe a plan, or, you know, here's a stepwise instruction. We could actually also take you through how to prepare some of these foods. Because the connection that I saw when people tasted the food and how easy it was to make some of these healthful, you know, what I like to call a colorful culinary adventure, just their expressions and their faces. Like, I could do this. I could actually do this. And that was the missing piece between just handing, you know, a sheet that said, here's what you should eat or what I recommend, et cetera, and then to actually taking them through the process of preparing it and tasting it with them.
I 100% agree with that. It really just comes to life whenever people are able to see what the completed recipe looks like and taste it. Because I just feel like our brains, whenever we just look at a recipe on the paper, it just doesn't, our imagination doesn't allow us to really fully experience it. And so many times, I'm a certified food for life instructor, and those recipes are simple, 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 like the simplest. They're so fast. Or so sometimes I'm a little embarrassed because I'm up there. I'm like, oh, I'm teaching you how to cook, but it's like so easy. Like basically you're just like throwing things together, but the students are always shocked by how delicious and flavorful it is. I mean, you just add like a little seasoned rice vinegar, you know, a little some of this, and it's just like, wow, the flavors just come alive. And then that's when the student is able to say, okay, I could do that, you know, I could make that at home. Definitely. And so then they start making it home and they realize that it's not that hard, that they really can do that. So I love that you have a passion for that. And I agree that more of us can be demonstrating how easy and delicious and nutritious these foods are that we can prepare at home.
Right. And, you know, one more thing about that is also that as I started to develop myself in the kitchen more, I could see that even outside the kitchen, just in my consult room, where I would walk people through recipes, a lot of people who are not experienced in the kitchen get stuck with, I don't have this one ingredient. Right. Yes. And then they're just like, I can't make this recipe. But now as I continue to develop myself, I could say, well, what about this? Do you have this in your kitchen? What do you have in your kitchen? Let's see how we can, you know, just talk through a recipe. And I started to notice that as I gained those skills, that was easier for me. And it was helpful for patients to be able to, again, say, okay, all right, I think I can do this. I don't have to buy this very expensive ingredient that sometimes a recipe might call for. I could use this instead or leave it out. So that skill is just so important, I think, for all of us as practitioners.
Yeah, absolutely. I call that being an intuitive cook. And it does take experience and time, but I think it can be taught. I think people can learn it faster if they're taught some of the principles in that. Because another thing that happens is someone might look at a recipe and see one ingredient that they don't like and be like, oh, I can't make that recipe. Like in their brain, they don't understand. Oh, I just swap it with this other thing, you know? Yeah, yeah. And so my husband, he started cooking a few years ago at Hope. And I think he just now started to get to that point where he can be a more intuitive cook because he's always been like very attached to the recipe and follow the recipe exactly. And like, even to the point, like if it said almond milk, he would go buy almond milk instead of using like the 5 bazillion cases of soy milk we had. Babe, you don't have to, just because it says almond milk, you can use the soy milk. It's fine. You know? Yeah. So, you know, those things just take time, but you know, being able to teach those principles to people and also just encouraging people to be adventurous.
Yes.
Just try.
Yes.
I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, just try and see what can happen. Most of the time, it turns out not only good enough, but even better sometimes. So just
absolutely.
Don't be scared.
Yes.
Just try it.
Try it out.
Okay. So I'm just over the moon, super impressed with all the work that y'all are doing. So tell me, what has it been like working with the fabulous team at New York City Health and Hospitals? What's that been like?
It's been an amazing adventure. I have to say, I actually just presented yesterday at our biannual, we have a dietitian symposium where all the dietitians from the health system from NYC Health and Hospitals get together. And I got to present an update, nutrition and lifestyle medicine efforts for lifestyle medicine in the system. So as of March, we've officially launched all 6 clinics that are based on the Velby model. And so it's just such a wild thing to think about that 5 years ago, we started with, you know, a team of 6. And we have Dr. Michelle McMacken as our executive director, right? And she continues to lead the efforts in the system. And the team is just, we're really like a family, you know, and we are just so connected with each other because we've been through this incredible journey that has been, you know, laughter and tears and just inspiration and keeping each other up and supporting each other through all of this. And we really have become like a family, you know, so it's just been such an incredible journey with all of them, all the physicians. And then we have our health coach, Chris Ann, and they're just all incredible human beings. I talked to somebody about this the other day, a student. When you find somebody, a leader like Michelle McMacken, you know, who is someone who just provides continual inspiration, right? And this mission is in the forefront and the team is aligned in that mission. And we all support each other and we move there. You stay, you know, and you see it through because that's what we do for each other. So it's been such an honor, really, to work alongside this team of 6.
Yeah, what a gift. I mean, it's so unique. It's so unique. And it's, you know, just honestly, I'm envious that y'all have that. But also, I'd love to learn how other places can replicate it. But before we go there, you mentioned Bellevue model. Can you explain what that means?
Yes. So back in 2019, we had a pilot program to see if offering lifestyle medicine services in Bellevue Hospital for the population that served there would work. And so we started with that team of 6, Dr. Michelle McMacken leading the efforts, right? We were backed by the then Brooklyn Borough President, Eric Adams, his office, right, to an NYC Health and Hospitals to put forth the, you know, just the funds to create this pilot program. So we all came into that. We didn't know. I told yesterday the dietitians, I didn't know if I was going to have a job the next year. I just came in into it because I had that vision too. As soon as I learned about this position and what Dr. McMacken was trying to create, I said, yes. And this is actually a friend of mine who sent me the job posting. And she said, Lily, this job was written for you. You have to apply. And when I read about it and I read about Dr. McMacken, I was like, yeah, this is. Because this is the type of dream, this interdisciplinary team of physicians, dietitians, right, working together. We had health coach working with us as well. to provide this whole person care. That was the model. And then after that year, we saw that these services really were wanted by people. We had an 850 person waiting list for people to sign up into our program. And and then that's why NYC Health and Hospitals decided to adopt us as an official program. And we relaunched in 2021 because we were actually stopped for a year during the pandemic in 2020, but we relaunched in a hybrid virtual model. So we had to almost like redo everything we had done from that first year and turn it into a virtual model. So that's just been a lot of changes, a lot of work that went into it. But
COVID challenged us in many ways, but also brought some benefits too, because then you can even bring it to more people. But I'm sure that was a little frantic and frustrating at the time to have to change that.
I am so happy that it's almost summer. It may seem like you're going to have lots of extra time to be lazy and spend lots of time in the kitchen, but let's face reality. Summer brings lots of traveling and spontaneous activities, and you don't want to be stuck planning meals, shopping for groceries, or laboring over a hot stove. Make life easy, like summertime, and try out Green Chef. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited process ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a healthy living routine. Listen, you don't want to get home from your trip to an empty fridge and nothing to cook. You're tired, you're jet-lagged. The last thing you want to do is go to the grocery store. Green Chef is your summer lifestyle lifesaver. You can even take Green Chef meal kits with you to your vacation rental. Easy peasy. Find recipes for every lifestyle, including plant-based diets. Green Chef delivers quality whole foods with limited process ingredients, including low added sugar and sodium smart options. You get to choose from 80 plus flavor-packed options that allow you to take back time in your kitchen and have dinner ready within 30 minutes and lunch in 10. Try 15 plus new recipes every week. Here's the best part. Green Chef delivers everything you need to make convenient, wholesome, and delicious meals directly to your doorstep. Each meal kit includes pre-measured ingredients, as well as some produce that come already pre-chopped, and custom sauces that are pre-made in-house. They also provide the recipe cards, and the meals are very simple to make. It's a delicious, fresh, home-cooked meal without the hassle. What I love most about Green Chef is that it takes the stress out of cooking. The recipes are easy to follow and everything you need is included. So even less experienced cooks in your house can prepare a delicious home-cooked meal. We have loved using Green Chef in our household and it's perfect for any season, especially if you want fresh, home-cooked, healthy meals to put on the table. Don't let the summer vacation schedule throw you off your healthy eating lifestyle. Make it easy to stick to your healthy eating goals with Green Chef. Go to greenchef.com/IamHuman50 and use code IamHuman50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/IamHuman50 and use the code IamHuman50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
It's summertime, which means more traveling, beach days, and a shift in our daily routines. It might mean you also get thrown off of your usual healthy habits. Well, having a green powder available that you can pack with you on road trips or overseas adventures can help you stay on track. That's where the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens comes in. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with products intended to bring your mind and body back in harmony. They consider themselves a by women and for women company. They now offer a nutrient-dense green powder called Daily Nutri-Greens. The Daily Nutri-Greens contain an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. It also contains other important nutrients such as B12, iron, zinc, and selenium. The Daily Greens are certified organic, and all you have to do is mix with water. But you can also easily add to your smoothies, your oatmeal, or even baked goods. The Daily NutriGreens are vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO. Another bonus is that the packaging is compostable. Yay! The Apple Banana Daily NutriGreens has a pleasant and mild flavor. It's easy to prepare and drink and doesn't leave any gritty aftertaste. When I drink it, I feel great afterward. It's really easy to create a daily ritual around your green drink, integrated into your daily self-care routine. A green powder is one way to fill the gap in your daily nutrition and is an easy and convenient way to get in your greens. These powders are a great way to add more nutrients into your diet during busy times, travel, and transitions in life when you don't have time or have access to fresh veggies. If you're interested in trying Equilibria Daily NutriGreens, head to myeq.com, that's myeq.com, and use code Dr. Yami, that's DRYAMI, for 15% off Equilibria's Daily NutriGreens and much more. That's myeq.com and use code DRYAMI at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
What do you think y'all have done that is different that has led to being so effective and so popular? Because one of the things that we're always concerned about in lifestyle medicine is that it's not something that's desired because it doesn't make as much money for a health system. You know how the modern healthcare system works. Like, we need to do surgeries, we need to do procedures, and lifestyle medicine is not, it's mostly just education, you know, management of those kinds of things. So what do you think has been different that has allowed y'all to be so successful?
Well, one of the, in terms of how we give back to the system, bring back some funds into the system, is we've implemented the shared medical appointment model now. And so our nurse practitioner, we have this 14-week series that our patients go into. And that's in the 14-week series is where we explore the six pillars of lifestyle medicine. So it's a six-month program. And there are three visits that the patients get with the physician or nurse practitioner, three visits with a dietitian, and three visits with the health coach. Along that 6 or 9 months, even, it ends up being continuum for that last visit. And then during those 6 months, then you have the 14-week lifestyle starter series, which that's really like the big chunk, right, of the program. And then an 8-week exercise series, which we've just hired an exercise instructor for. And so every week we have the nurse practitioner. We have every cohort that, you know, of the class, we have 10 people, 10 patients. And the nurse practitioner takes them out 5 minutes, 6 minutes, and, you know, doing an appointment every week. And so that model has helped us to bring back some funds into the system and keep us sustainable.
That's great. Yeah, I have to think of creative and innovative ways to be cost effective and to be able to provide value, but at the same time, make sure that it's not too expensive for the system. Right. So that's been really great. So tell me a little bit about the different projects that you have going on and what kind of impact it has made in New York City and beyond thus far.
So thank you for that question. I think one of the things that we often get asked about, it really is in terms of how we're establishing this clinic, how we're, you know, just even getting the concept of lifestyle medicine out into health systems. So we get a lot of physicians writing in, dietitians, you know, a lot of people who are just kind of solo efforts going into their clinic and just asking about how do we get this started, you know, on our side of the states, right? So we talk a lot about, you know, and we make time to have conferences with them and, you know, talk to them about starting to just see who your allies are in the system, right? Create your team around that. Because with initiatives that we've done in like our staff initiatives, for example, those are ones where we started to discover that there were other people that were already working on some of these lifestyle medicine type of practices within in their own specialties, right? And they start to come out of the woodwork and say, hey, you know, like I've been doing this. And then we start to form collaborations. So our staff initiatives are two things that have helped us to create more of a team around our lifestyle medicine initiatives. We have the Power of Your Plate, which we were so grateful that you were our guest in just in March for National Nutrition Month. And that one is just a really great initiative that I want to help to replicate in other health systems as well. So that's something that I'll be presenting on at PPOD in September. And just really looking at how to create something that helps draw people in and just creates awareness of what you're already doing. I think that's one of the biggest things, is just how to get the word out of what you're already doing so that you can create a team. Whether you start with one person, five people, you know, you start to build teams around that. And then, you know, the bigger you get, then the bigger impact we can make.
That's awesome. There's so many great things that y'all are doing. And I'm just so proud of you. And I'm so grateful that y'all are leading the way and giving us hope in all the rest of the country that it can be done. So keep up the good work. What tips you may have for other passionate healthcare workers, people, whether it's in nutrition or, you know, the medical field, on how they can make an impact and influence those around them, especially if they're really passionate about lifestyle medicine and plant-based nutrition?
That's just kind of tying into what I mentioned about the staff initiatives that we've created. Something like where people can come and discuss, you know, or learn about creating the Power of Your Plate. It's a webinar series that goes along the month of March, which is National Nutrition Month. So every week we have a lunch, kind of like a lunch and learn type thing. People bring their lunch virtually and they can sit in with us from 12 to 1. And we bring in, it's always a pair of physician and dietitian, because it also serves for us, you know, as a mission to highlight the role of a registered dietitian in the medical team, you know, and that partnership, which has been so fruitful, you know, for me, my career. And I want everybody to have that, you know, to be able to just work together and have that. But creating initiatives like those where you gain visibility, right? And just helping yourself to create allies. That's been the best or the most successful thing that I've seen, you know, for us. And having, you know, creating these partnerships and helping people to just spread the word about lifestyle medicine or even form partnerships in order to create more programs, you know, because from the Power of Your Plate, for example, we've been invited to speak at NYU, like our neighbors, right? But that's a whole other branch, you know, that we can also talk about lifestyle medicine in, and, you know, and then for medical residents. And so there's all of these little branches that come about once you start just a little spark.
And I feel like they're always looking for people to speak on certain topics. I mean, there's just so many opportunities. So either harnessing the power of social media, just getting on a platform and just doing some education, or in your own office, in your own system, do a little 30 minute to 60 minute lunch and learn on topics. And like Lily said, once you start doing that, other people start coming out and be like, I'm really interested in this, or this is something I've already been doing, and let's partner together. And then you build your team. Yes. It's amazing. What do you feel is the most gratifying part of your work?
The patients really are what make this work, helps us to, you know, even though there has been tears and frustrations that come about, you know, putting something like this on in, you know, one of the nation's largest public health care systems, the patient stories and what they've been able to accomplish in the programs, that's what keeps us going. We just actually published a story from one of our patients, David Valle. You can find it. I'm sure we can link it in the show notes, but in our NYC Health and Hospitals page. And just someone who took on this program, every bit of it, you know, and every week he would come back and say, I bought couscous, Lily. What do I do with this? You know, like, hadn't gotten in the kitchen before, really new to so many different things. And he took on the pillars of specifically nutrition and exercise just to the next level, was so enthusiastic about everything, and has really been able to get so much of his stamina back, his just like digestion, energy, a whole new outlook on life. And when you see people who take on programs like that, And you know that they're also passing it on to members of their family and their community, right? You just are able to see yourself as part of something so amazing, you know, and you're grateful for that. And that's one of the things that really drives us.
It's really a ripple effect, isn't it? And, you know, just being there to provide that education, provide that encouragement, that support and empowerment, because some people have never been empowered by the healthcare provider in this type of way, you know, that you have the ability to make these changes in your life. And then you're giving them the best gift of all, which is well-being and longevity. I mean, what could be better, you know? And once you see the power of lifestyle change, it really is the most gratifying feeling. And I feel like, you know, I have medical students rotating here a lot too. And lately they've come to learn how I apply lifestyle medicine to pediatrics. And sometimes I feel like I'm a broken record because whenever you see how that can change somebody's life, how it can potentially reverse symptoms that they've been having that really affecting their life, you just want to keep going and going and going. So it gives you that energy, you know, it really just boosts you forward.
Right. You can see those palpable differences, right? And what you just said too about empowering, that's one of the biggest differences, you know, in terms of conventional medical treatment and lifestyle medicine, right? Patients stop being those passive recipients of care. You know, where they come into your office and they expect to be told what to do. Versus here, we're shifting that model and we're saying, you're the conductor of your health train. You have the power to make a difference or take steps in each of these six areas of life and check out what that's going to bring you. And when they start doing it and they start seeing it, they're like, wow, this really is in my hands. I really am the conductor. And then we continue to empower them. And it's just a whole new feeling for them that they never knew that they could have.
Yeah. I think that also when you're part of the team, it's a better feeling because I've never really liked the whole, this is what you do, go do it. You know, like it just never felt great not to have that, you know, and of course medicine is changing also. And so we're changing that to be like shared decision-making because I think we realized in the past that just like sitting down and telling people what to do is not the right way to do it. But whenever you come from the perspective of a health coach, a well-being coach, it is just a gratifying thing because then you know that it's not all of your responsibility. You're there to support, you're there to encourage, you're there to bounce ideas off of, but you're not in control of the situation. The patient, the student, the client, they're the one that's fully in control. So I love that.
Totally. That definitely has changed in the last few years, right? With motivational interviewing and all that stuff too. You're right. Absolutely.
Well, is there anything that really frustrates you about your work?
Oh man, I think this question could probably be a whole episode. There's one of the things, it's because Dr. McMacken had this analogy once about steering a large ship, you know, and I like, that's just such a great image in terms of being able to create something in such an established system, right? I mean, Bellevue Hospital is the first public hospital in the United States, established in 1736. So when you think about the history of that, I also think that's poetic that we started the lifestyle medicine, you know, initiative there because it is the oldest public hospital. But you think about everything that's established there and trying to get through some of just procedures, policies, you know, some of that red tape that can come about. That's tough, you know, and that can create just time barriers too. And like we want to do something here, but then we have to make sure that we cross all the right T's and dot all the I's. And that can be, you know, just very, really time consuming. But on the other hand, the system also has been very supportive of the efforts. It's just that, you know, getting through what's already been established and creating, breaking new ground is a process, you know? And so you have to have a lot of patience, a lot of patience for it. But again, we're very lucky that the system really has received our programs, you know, and our efforts so well.
Thank you so much for talking on that concept because some people like me don't have very much patience. And so in the past, and by not very much, I mean like negative patience. That to me has been the most frustrating thing as well. But now that I'm older and a tiny bit wiser, I love Dr. McMackin's analogy because it's true. Like, if you have a big old ship, you know that you're not going to be able to make big changes very quickly. Mm-hmm. You can slowly make changes in that direction. But the main thing is you have to stay passionate. You have to hold to that vision and believe that it can happen. You know, get your team on board and then just go through the process and, you know, the two steps forward, one step back.
Yes.
50 bazillion meetings. I'm also not a patient person for meetings, but you know, if you really have that vision in your heart, you have that mission close to your heart, then you'll hang in there. But I think you have to believe that it's possible and that it's going to happen, because otherwise it's just very easy to quit in those situations, I think. Because I've been there. I've been a quitter, you know, because I don't have the patience.
I think this is such an important topic to touch on, Dr. Yami, because we also don't want to create this illusion that it's an easy thing to do, right? Because sometimes we can idealize something and say, you know, this is just a magical thing that's happening, but it just is so much work. And it has come, you know, at personal, professional sacrifice for a lot of us and team. And, you know, but it is, like you said, that mission that we keep in our heart that keeps us going, and that leadership, you know, and that team that we've created around this mission, where when one of us is down, we lift each other up, we laugh about things, you know, and then we find another way. We get creative, you know, we find partnerships, we find ways, you know, and we stick it out and are patient and wait for things. You know, that's the thing.
That's the beauty of the human spirit, and having the right team around you to support each other and lift each other up. And I know it hasn't been easy for y'all, because I can't even imagine working with systems that are just like tiny compared to the system that you're in, how much work that's been. So I greatly admire your perseverance, and I'm just so grateful that y'all have established that so that the rest of us can learn from your example. So thank you for the grit that has been required to continue this mission. All right. So I want to do some of the more fun, deep questions now. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. What do you wish more people knew?
I wish more people knew about the incredible power of our plates, not just for personal health, right? But for the earth, for environmental health. We have 3 or 4 choices that we make every day, and connecting ourselves to the choices that we make and how that can impact us, our health, our longevity, our families, right? And the world around us. It's such a mind-blowing concept for me. And I wish more people knew about it and got excited about it too, you know, and how they can participate. I always love the concept of being a participant in the world and being able to make an impact. And I want people to know that you can make an impact with what we choose to put on our plate.
Oh, that was like perfectly said, Lily. Thank you so much. How do you define success in this lifetime?
For me, it's a concept of legacy. One of my professors at Loma Linda had that nickname for me. She called me Legacy because I used to always talk to people who are like came the year before me, when I used to get up and I used to belong to this Nutrition Council Student Association. We'd talk to people about what are you leaving behind in your place when you go. And for me, it's always about helping a place to be better for the people who come before me. That's what I want to leave behind. And I want to know that I made things better, you know, because sometimes we get caught up in how, for example, at Loma Linda or at a health system, this is not working. This is, you know, they do this, I don't like it. And we get stuck in this place of like what the system or this university is doing to me. Well, I always used to say to them, I didn't let Loma Linda happen to me. I happened to it. Right. And that's the same thing that I'm doing at health and hospitals. I'm not letting the system happen to me. I'm happening to it. So what I'm creating, you know, is something that I want people to take on after me. That's the legacy, right? Because I know that we're going to continue to make it better, you know, and the person after me will make it better and better. And that's how I define success, the legacy that we leave behind.
Oh, that's so powerful. Wow. Amazing. I love it. Is there a goal or a dream that has evaded you thus far, or something that you have left on your bucket list that you'd be willing to share with us?
You know, I thought about this question. I love that I'm on this, your podcast, Dr. Yama, because this has made me think so much about where I want to go from here. You know, because one of the things that where I'm working on right now is really creating that work-life balance. Mm. You know, I think that is so important to take care of ourselves as practitioners as well, because there is, you know, that place where we go where we get so caught up in helping others or doing this, you know, and this initiative for me in the last 5 years has definitely taken on my life, you know, and I'm trying to find that place of like, okay, also feeding me, right? And my, like, I find joy in my work, of course, you know, but there's also part of me where I feel like I've missed some of my cousins growing up and family life parts, you know, that I wish I would have participated more in, et cetera, where I'm trying to find that balance in right now.
It takes time. And I think it's a constant work in progress, especially for passionate people. Like, you're a very passionate person. And I think those types of people, when we go all in on something, we go all in. And yeah. So, which is amazing and great, but sometimes we're like, oh yeah, that thing over there that I haven't done in a long time.
Right. You know? Yes.
So then it's like, okay, now I'm going to shift and my next phase is going to be more of that. And my next phase will be more of that. But I've definitely learned some very, you know, tough lessons around that in my life as well. And I think ultimately it's about pursuing that joy that we can feel, because the more joy and well-being we have, the more we are able to pass it on and radiate to those around us. So if we get too involved in something and too deeply in something and it starts getting depleted, yeah, then we're like, okay, where do I need to rearrange things in my life so that I can get that spark back? So yeah, constant work in progress on my end.
Yeah, no, for sure. Me too. And that's, you know, I'm looking forward though to this, you know, balance and to getting back to cooking. That's something that I feel like that evading piece that has evaded me in the last few years, you know, because I love cooking. I love being in the kitchen, but I have not done enough of it. And I've had this dream of creating a Spanish language cookbook, because I know that we have so much material in English. And I want to create something plant-based in Spanish. So I'm putting it out there in the world, because that is something that, you know, I just want to get in my kitchen and cook more.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And anytime you need a recipe tester, let me know.
All right.
I'm all about all the yummy food.
Thank you.
What does it mean to be human?
Wow. I love this question. Being human just means feeling. I think feeling and experiencing. There are so many of the joys, so much happiness in life, but also so many tragedies, and all of it is amazing and beautiful, right? And I think continuously just inspiring each other with stories of, you know, what we've been able to overcome, that indomitable human spirit, right? That overcomes insurmountable odds, and we can continue to inspire each other with our stories of, you know, how we did this, and then just feel all of it. You know, I think one of our missions in life really is to love each other to the best possible ability that we have, you know, and I want to create that. I want to continue to love each other and love all sentient beings, really, not just humans. But that's, you know, experiencing all of the feelings is what it means to be human.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Well, Lily, this has been a fabulous conversation. It's been so great to get to know you a little bit better and hear more about your work. So if you can tell us where we can connect with you, where we can find all the, you know, different things that you're doing with NYC Health and Hospitals, that would be fantastic. And we can put all the links in the show notes.
Great. Thank you. Right now, I have in my Instagram, I've just created a link tree that has the links to our Health and Hospitals Lifestyle Medicine page and a couple of conferences that I'll be speaking at in the next few months. And some of my older interviews where I've talked about health and hospitals and their initiatives, our initiatives there. I'm hoping in the future also to be able to start to see clients one-on-one And so that's a winter project, and that'll be published then. But right now, that's what I have. My Instagram page at lilyc_rd. LILYC_RD.
Perfect. Well, we'll definitely make sure that we link that. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see you again in person. I'll be at the June Peapod, so I won't be at the September Peapod. But everybody that's listening, it's a fantastic conference. So please try to go in person if you can. If not, virtually is also another option. But meeting everybody in person, isn't it just so wonderful?
So wonderful. And then, that's where we met.
Yeah, the food. And then you get hugs and you get to talk to people and network, and it's really fun. So I really recommend it, especially if you've never been to a lifestyle medicine or plant-based conference. Peapod is such a good one to go to. So Lily, thank you so much for everything you do. I can't wait to see you again soon. And I hope that you have a very plantastic day.
Thank you, Dr. Yami. My name is Lily and I am human.
Thank you for listening to another episode of I Am Human. I would be so honored if you subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. We love our listeners and take your feedback seriously. If you have questions or constructive feedback, you can email us at podcast@dryami.com. That's podcast@dryami.com. I am your host, Dr. Yami Cazorla Lancaster. I Am Human is produced by myself and Alejandra Parra. Graphics designed by Alejandra Parra. Music by Angela Sof with Glowbox Productions and edited by the Castos production team. Remember, human, you are here for a reason. Have fun, explore, and live your life to the fullest.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.